Yes, well, that's what I was waiting for. So I'll wait till she sits down. So do you have paper and stuff to take notes, Robin? Do you have something to take notes on? Okay, great.
Not notes, minutes.
Oh, minutes. I'm not an official person, unfortunately.
Robert, you over?
Yes, I do know. So I want to call this meeting to order. And do you happen to have the minutes from our 2008 meeting, Robin?
I do not.
That's fine. And then we didn't have one in 2009. We only met with the Cornish American Heritage Society. So, and I don't know that anybody has any minutes from that.
I'm the secretary. So I didn't know if I had known I would have brought
them. I hadn't really thought about the fact that we didn't have. Was there anything that you feel like you need to report on that we would need to know? Mostly everything's kind of come through in the newsletters and stuff.
If anybody does want a copy, just email me and I can.
Okay.
That was for the national.
I know. But
that's what she's saying. We didn't have a Cornish Cousins meeting last year. We meant to that one in lieu of it. And so I was going to say that was really the only thing we did. So, and then, Pat, you.
Yeah.
So everybody has a treasurer's report. If you guys want to look it over, if anybody has any questions, do you have anything you want to share about it?
We actually didn't distribute anything for charitable funds last year, probably because we did not have a meeting.
Right, that's on my list.
I do have a treasurer's report for 2008. If anyone's interested, I did it and trucked it up to Grass Valley and sat with it in my chair.
Nobody asked you for it. Okay, great. So if anybody has any questions, you can talk to Pat afterwards. She does a great job, and it's all nice and orderly here. So, and that is on our agenda for this time, is our charitable contributions. So we will get to that. Let's see. Maureen, did you have anything to share on membership?
I counted so that we have 160, but that's always a little bit flexible.
Right.
That isn't addresses. I tried to account for it. And so it is a little bit of flexibility there. We did lose at least two of our key members, and that was Gage's mom, Jackie McKinney, and Josephine Knapp-Kepler, who's been a member a long, long time. And so those were the two deaths. But that's major.
And Pat, do you want to share your idea
at this point?
If anyone does not have a $12 check, check with Maureen or I, either one. We have up-to-date lists, but some of you folks forget to pay your $12. So, especially since we have the newsletter available via email. So, if you haven't paid, please do, because that contributes to the charitable things we can do and the excess funds that we spend on the galleries. So. Check with me if you're not sure or worried.
Yeah, so, yes.
I noticed there's a lifetime membership fund. Is there a lifetime membership fee that people can pay?
Yes, $150.
$150. Good.
I didn't know that, so. Okay, let's see. Burnett, do you have anything you want to share about the newsletter?
Well, everybody knows that you can get an email version now, and I don't know how that's going, if we're ever going to stop printing it. It would be interesting to know those people who are here who are getting both. I've asked people to tell me that they don't want the print copy. I'm not going to take anybody off just automatically at this stage,
right?
Because I think everybody's used to having the print. And so we have 86 email addresses that I send to. I printed 130 copies of the spring issue. I think I usually end up with maybe a dozen or so overs just to have in my hand, and I ended up with only three. So,
wow.
I know that, I don't know how many of those 86 are also getting the print copy.
Right.
But we have reduced our expenses, but nominal.
Yeah.
Really. And I don't see that we're going to ever make much change until we either go all the way electronic.
Right.
But I was also going to add that we'll put Gary's, there'll be live links on the electronic.
Yeah.
On the one you, the newsletter you get via email. So you can just click on those and do all your exploration the same as you'd be able to on Yahoo.
Yeah.
I guess I have a question about Julie Beth. On Yahoo, can we, you post the newsletter?
Yes. And
I
post it
out to everybody?
I can, yeah. Well, you know what it'll do is it'll send the link to it, and then they'll link back to it on the site.
Yeah. But not everybody that I have on my list is on Yahoo, so.
No, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah,
we're
just,
down
just
further
have to
mind.
Kind of keep going ahead.
Well, and I hope those of you who do read it electronically will go ahead and let Burnett know that he can drop you from the mailing list, because it'll save us some money. And the other thing is there's so much more. You can have everything in color. You get better graphics. You can have live links. You can have more pictures. You can have more pages. And so I know we have a few people who don't have the internet. it's not what I'm talking about in particular.
Only Express to him.
Yeah. But I think most of us are online these days. And so hopefully we can really transition to that, and that will save time and money, and also allow Burnett to use his expertise to the fullest,
well,
that we can enjoy it.
It's interesting, because what I'm doing now is doing a black and white issue first, because I have to take that to the printer. And then for the email version, I go back and change the pictures into color again, add a little bit here and there. But if I was only doing it for email, I'd start out using the color as more of the part of the design of it.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's,
yeah, there's a
it's
lot more options.
In some ways.
Yeah.
I see Yvonne is taking pictures. I invite everybody to share your photos with me.
Yeah.
Pick out your best ones and email them to me. I'll put them in the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's about it. We're under budget. We haven't had an issue. I think we settled on $1,000 for the year, and we haven't had an issue over. The most expensive was winter, $230. So, and it varies, because I buy postage. I just go buy stamps and stick them on, that kind of thing. So it's pretty much, I guess, it'll be standard fare, and we'll keep adding email.
We'll keep working on it.
Yeah, we'll keep working on it.
I have to say thank you very much.
Yes.
Contributions, you know that.
Yeah.
Kitty is one of my favorite correspondents.
Yes, it's wonderful.
And Robin and Gage and Dick, but anybody who has a little tidbit to share, please do.
Yeah, and do is, and you know, those funny stories that your family's always said, or those expressions, or you know, if you take a trip someplace, share that, because we all like to get on our, we can't do everything, and we can't hear everything, and so if the newsletter is a great place to get that. And with the electronic one, it's not such an issue of room, so as we transition towards electronic, we can have a lot more in each issue. And especially if you can email it to Burnett, then he doesn't have to do so much typing. Yes.
Okay, so I'll admit I'm guilty of this, to start with, before I make this comment. Something that we have mentioned before, trying to encourage people to take an electronic version, and at least we now have one, thank you, is to at some point advertise next year. If you have an email address, you will receive only the electronic version, and rather than say, you know, let me know if you don't want it. So at some point, you know, we'll let people know, and then at some point just say you are only going to receive it unless you specifically let me know that you do want a hard copy. So I think we're at a point where we can transition to that.
We're taking the soft approach.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do people in this room, this is kind of a small group, but how do people feel about that if you would have to mail in for an opt-out of the electronic, and then you would get electronic unless you mailed in and said, no, I need to get it written, a physical copy?
Well, can I move that we do this in the winter issue of 2011, and that we do an opt out, otherwise you're electronic.
All in favor? Raise your hands.
Yes.
Julie Beth?
Yes.
As membership chair, I can tell you that not everybody has an email address.
No. That's what we're saying, so that in the fall issue, there would be a coupon or something that you would mail in if you want a physical copy. If you don't mail that in, then, and we have an email address, obviously it's not going to work if you don't, then you would get it by email.
Yes, you better have a banner across the very front page, or people will not.
Well, and it's only in the electronic copy that goes out. It's in the electronic copy that goes out.
Yes.
That was the motion, was those that have email addresses, they're going to get an email that says, there's a coupon, you must opt out if you don't want to get the electronic.
That's a good way. That's a good way to do that. If it only went out in the electronic copy, then we would know.
Would we have to actually, though, make people go to that trouble? Because if they're getting an email copy, and there's a notification that if you're getting the e-copy, as of such and such a date, you'll no longer get the hard copy, and just do it. Because those people will still get the people.
Right,
yeah,
that's true.
I think you can just put the notification in the
newsletter.
Right,
yeah. I don't think people need to mail stuff in, because if they are not getting the e-copy, they're going to continue to get the print copy no matter what.
Right.
So, and if somebody's getting the e-copy, hey, you know.
My only concern would be if there's somebody who never checks their email and their e-copy is sitting in their inbox, and they don't read it, and so then they assume they're, so there would need to be something probably in the hard copy too, saying that those who are getting an email version of this will be dropped from our mailing list, and so if you have, you know, check and make sure if you're getting it by email.
I'm suggesting too that those of the people who don't have email, but maybe their kids or a neighbor does, maybe, you know, suggest that maybe you could give that person email, and they could.
It would only be if that was something that you did all the time.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, if we could get a big chunk of people switched over, it would still make it easier.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't want to force people, but there's no use to have a paper one sitting on their kitchen table if they're reading their email one. And the nice thing with the email one, I said, not only can we have more content, but then you, like with me, I share it with my kids, and I make sure my husband has it, and we. You know, it's there whenever we want it. We can go back. Right, and we can, people who are interested in Cornish Cousins. That's what you're saying, yeah. So I think, I mean, it looks like are there people who are against this? And so I think we could probably go forward with it, and there will be an outcry if it doesn't work. And so, but I think it will really help, because I think a lot of people just don't get around to saying anything.
I guess with the winter edition was what Pat suggested.
Yeah.
If you have an email address, that's the way you will receive it.
Yeah. And you could say in the print one, since you are receiving this, you will no longer get a print one as of spring 2012 or whatever the next one would be. But something I think should go in the print one, in case there's people who read their print one and don't read their email one and might not realize that they'll be dropped from the print one.
I guess there's a possibility that we might just, some members may disappear because, like they said, you say, they may not be reading. Well, if they're not reading the newsletter anyway, they're not reading.
Right, but if we tell them in the print one that, if we tell them in the print one that those with an email address will no longer be receiving a print one, then that should send people to say, okay, I have an email address, but I never check it. I better go and look. So,
okay.
And if there's anybody who has email addresses that you need to update, let me know. And yes.
Do you just send them to members, or do you send them to like genealogy groups and?
We have some exchanges with other.
Other Cornish organizations.
I was thinking of Gary when he was talking. I have his email address now. I'll send him
the other nice thing. It's a lot easier to interact.
I don't know if the board might want to set a precedent. I mean, I know that you just don't want to send it out free to anybody.
Right.
That's why it's part of being
a member
of the group. But we do want to cooperate with certainly all the other associations.
That's the thing.
And important people that...
And it's nice when they share with us because it gives us things that we want to know about.
I forget, there's one site in England that I think, I don't know, Dave maybe asked me to send it to these people, and I did, and, you know, it's getting posted in Britain, so...
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if we start getting email from... You know, mysterious places.
Well, and it's a great way to interact. After reading the London Cornish organization newsletter, I was thinking that would have been fun if we had contacted them before we went to Cornwall and maybe hooked up with some of the Cornish in London and talked to them while we were there. Yeah, and they said they're very wanting to correspond with us and other groups around their country. So, okay, any other questions or comments on newsletter? Yes.
I'm not sure this is, maybe this is a transition. How do we get on the Yahoo group?
I didn't write down the address. If you go to Yahoo Group's website and you put in Cornish, probably if you just put in Cornish, I think it's the only Cornish one on there, but Cornish or Cornish Cousins is called California Cornish Cousins. And you just go to it and you join it. So you have to have a Yahoo, you have to be signed into Yahoo to join it. If you want to just receive information from it and not be able to go to the website, then you could send me an email and I could put you on the list, but then you can't access the pictures and stuff. So the best way is to go to Yahoo Groups, and if you don't already have it, don't do anything with Yahoo, then you just set up a Yahoo ID and sign in and go to the Cornish Cousins page, and you'll know it is yellow with the big Cornish Cousins logo. You'll know you're in the right place, and then you just tell it you want to join, and then you get... mail from anybody who sends anything. It's been a fun way to discuss things. People find out about something, and the more people we get on it, the more it can do for us. And I do have the first electronic newsletters posted there. I need to post the rest. There's a file section where I want to put the newsletters, but plus anything else. If someone has information, it can be posted in the files. There's photo pages you can use there, link pages you can use there. Okay.
Julie Beth?
Yes.
I also would like to move that we allot $1,000 for the newsletter for the next year so that I don't have to chase signatures.
Yes.
Second.
Okay. That was quick. I didn't get to talk. All in favor of allotting that budget and say aye. Opposed? Okay. Settled. Yes, that's a lot easier than doing all the mailing out.
Okay.
I felt really bad when I was the president because I was really bad at getting those back to people. So I really appreciate it. Okay. Placerville, would you like to tell us a little bit about your plans for next year, Kitty?
Okay. Well, it's in the little program. I don't know if you read the little blurb there about a little bit of the history of Placerville. I have... just made 20 copies, so I don't know if there's enough, but this is the actual proposal. It was for the board. Now, do you want me to hand that out to everybody?
For family, maybe?
I have no idea what protocol is.
Maybe
Who knows what protocol is?
Maybe leave them on the table if they're interested.
Okay, well, don't I need to get approval from the board on this proposal before I can contract anything with these vendors?
You're the president. I think you can contact.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know that the year I did it, we did a lot of that stuff. If you email the board, if there's questions or concerns, just email the board and get approval or whatever. I think is what we did the year I was doing it. So if they
how do you go about paying the deposits and stuff?
It's what we then
board approval, the treasurer.
Yeah. So you can just email for board approval, and or if you have the exact amounts already, and then Pat can issue a check.
Well, this is the amounts based on like a 50-person registration. If we get 100, you know, these numbers might change.
No, that's fine. Same, but like when you need a check, then let Pat know, and
I've got one.
We can get it out, and she can get it out, and if it's something that you need specific approval for, then get it to, then just get it, send an email out, get a consensus, and go for it. So,
well, if we approve the whole plan now,
Right, then she can just, I'm saying if it's something extra,
then
different,
we
yeah.
Just go for
yeah,
it.
then just get in touch with Pat, so.
Okay, and I have some stuff here that I've gotten about Placerville from the Chamber of Commerce, if anyone wants to see these things in the hotel. This is the Gold Bug Mine that's there owned by the city, where you can actually get a tour of Bull of Grass.
Oh, yeah. Fun.
And I was thinking about arranging one for the group to do, but then I didn't know, you know, if that might be a little difficult for...
Well, what, a lot of times we've done with things like that, it's just to have it be an option.
Yeah, so I think that's correct.
And have it say at this time, you know, and if you need to know the number ahead, then then to have that be on the, on when you register, that you need to decide at that point if you want
right.
to do it, whatever
it's,
you...
It's a cool mine. There's two mines, actually.
And there's not many you can do that, so that's really
yeah.
cool.
And there's only one of them you can only do on the tour, whereas... The one is open more to the public, but they've got stamp mill there and all that kind of stuff.
Very cool.
And then Coloma is nearby, too, and I was thinking we could arrange for a tour there, mm-hmm. maybe do our pasty lunch.
That would be fun.
Pasty, if I got the pasty lunches set up as a box lunch,
right?
Instead of trying to serve them hot, I mean, we
yeah.
always had gold pasties for lunch the next day, and
they're fine. Yeah.
Awesome.
And a lot easier. Yeah.
I remember trying to explain to the kids at Corpus Christi School what a pasty was.
Yeah.
They've got their PB&Js and I was eating pasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's Cornish?
Yeah.
But
tell them they're empanadas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing.
But, you know, to do a tour out there at Coloma where the Gold Discovery Site is, and they have lots of historic buildings, you know, an old Chinese store and a couple of beautiful churches, and it's a beautiful site.
So maybe you can even just kind of put together a list of things to see on your own and then make some plans for things you think are best done as
yeah.
a group. And
that's
yeah.
how you do it, just, yeah.
Whatever works out,
whatever
works out, do it.
Care.
And like I said, if it's
okay.
things you need a commitment for, then... you know, you can have it on
the
registration form.
And
Burnett's wonderful if you need help or putting something together. He knows all that stuff.
Okay.
Burnett's like, oh, good, thanks. Anyway, yeah. And so just do whatever works, whatever
okay.
works for you, whatever you think will make
carte
it.
Blanche.
Yeah.
Well, the board, I mean, it's not really carte blanche because
but,
the board has reviewed Kitty's plan. It's an excellent plan.
Yeah.
The pricing is consistent with the prices of our gathering over the last several gatherings,
yeah.
which we've done really well at keeping the price about the same for quite a number of years. So, the officers have all reviewed the plan previous to this meeting. So I like to make the motion so as to free up
right.
that to be able to write the checks for deposits. I'd like to make the motion that we accept the plan for the Placerville gathering, and it's a wonderful place we have
yeah.
never been before as
yeah.
a group. I mean, it's
so
in some ways the most obvious place for
yeah.
us to go, and we've never been there before, so it's really a great opportunity. So that's my motion.
Do you have a second?
Kitty's plan.
Okay. Second from Dick Chamberlain. All in favor, raise your hand. Looks great. Opposed? Got it. So
the location for it is the Best Western in Placerville. If anyone wants to go to their website, they have a room like this, that, you know, a big room that we can use. You can actually seat 120 for dinner in there.
Right.
So it's a good sized room, and they're giving us a good deal. And if we book 20 rooms, they're giving them to us at $99 a night.
Oh, good. Well, maybe you can get a little blurb about some of that and some links and stuff
yeah.
in this next newsletter to kind of get people thinking about it, looking into it, maybe a site for Chamber of Commerce or whatever. And
right.
Yeah.
I just wanted everyone to get the date. The
yes.
Fifth,
and I appreciate that.
The program. What are the dates, Kitty? What are the dates?
3 through 5 of June.
Yeah, so that's in your brochure that you have here, and it was in the newsletter, I think, too, wasn't it?
No.
No, not yet. Okay, so it'll be in the next newsletter.
Yeah, it is in...
but it's in the brochure, yeah.
In the back page of the...
the program today.
Program.
I just want to remind everybody, too, that the last few years we've had a children's rate, and I think we want to make sure that we continue to do that, because
encouraged us to bring our children and grandchildren.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
There was a year where there was not a children's rate, and it was very expensive.
For kids. What rate usually is the children's?
Well, it's for the registration. And
right, for the meals.
Like this year, I think it was 12 and under, or under 12 was free.
That's a really good rate.
Yeah. Yeah. And
we went there for the 12 and over.
And so we've done different things, and you kind of need to look at what it costs. What we did, what we've done some years is increase the price of everybody else's and make everybody under 18 free. This year is under 12 free. Other times you said, well, the registration's free, and just charge whatever it actually costs out of pocket for their meals or their activities or something. And so that's obviously a really fair thing, because I think we really do need to get. I know if my family had kids hadn't been coming since they were little kids, they would not be so excited, which is, they're not here, but it's not because they don't want to be here, but they would be so excited about their Cornish heritage. And I really want to encourage all of you grandparents, the only reason we could afford to go as a young family is because my parents paid for us to come and got our kids excited, and you know, grandma and grandpa walking through the mines with them. My kids are excited and on fire about their Cornish heritage, so I agreed. So maybe look at something that it, you know, is fair, that doesn't hurt the group, but allows for the kids. We've never gotten more than three or four kids, so it hasn't been a big financial burden, even when they're free. So right. So whatever works for you. And if we have kids, I've got all my stuff prepared. That we could do another play, which was very popular last year. The kids were hilarious last year. And I have other ideas that we never even used because we just didn't have enough people. So.
Well, maybe you can think along the idea of the theme that we talked about. I had an idea for a theme for the Placerville one being hearth and home.
Yeah.
And focusing on the women of the 1800s, because we talk a lot about the miners and the hardships the men faced, but the women were right there suffering and, you know, having their own joys and sorrows right along with the men, and what it took to keep a house when the miner would come home, or in an industrial site where the stamp mill's pounding all day and you're trying to keep your dirt floors clean and bake your baskets.
Well, I think that's a good idea, and so we can pull some things together if it looks like we have some kids, and then you can even go ahead and say that we're going to have it, and if we have some kids, you know, we can have a little program for them on that. I have a lot of information about, you know, what life was like for women and children at that time.
Right.
So go ahead and...
And Jan had a good idea about quilting, you know, being that's a home too, and having a display of these quilts. And, things I think we could do, you know, have some set up displays like we did in Sonora where we left them when they were locked safe at night and stuff.
Yeah.
People could cruise by and look at the different displays. I thought that was kind of cool. I thought we could tie in with Robin vast knowledge of the cooking.
Exactly.
Great. And I also wanted to just propose these. I don't know if any of you guys noticed the club pins that the Bendigo Aussies had. These little pins. And I wrote to their leader guy and got the information of this company in Scotland where he gets the pins from. And this is an actual size. It didn't print very clearly, but with the California flag crossed with the Cornish flag.
And how much did you say they were about?
The price of getting 200 of them would cost us $360.
So
at that price, I thought we could include one with every registration package.
I was just going to say that.
And everyone could have a club pin.
I think that, because we've done things like that in the past, and that is a good way to get them into the group. And and it's not going to really affect the cost of our membership or the registration. Yes, Dad.
What a question. The stickers that we have given out just about every meeting had a pretty good supply, maybe at one
time. Did I send those home with you guys?
Still got them around the car.
Okay. So if anybody wants, because I told my dad, I said, I don't think I got them, so I think I must have given them to Maureen. So if anybody wants a Cornish flag sticker, maybe you can bring them up tonight and just have them on the table. If anybody wants a Cornish flag sticker for your car or...
I can go get them now if you want.
Well, we'll be back together tonight, so unless someone's leaving before tonight wants one. So...
So what does anyone think about the pin?
Oh, love the pin.
I think it's a great idea. I think we should... I think that.
So for $360, is anybody, you guys willing to go for that?
Yeah.
To have it made?
We can buy extras if we travel, we could exchange them.
Can I just put a motion on the floor that we accept Kitty's idea to buy pins for, and have them available for registration next year?
Yes. Do we have a second?
Second.
Or you have discussion? Okay. So we have a motion that we will accept that we're going to buy these pins. They'll be part of registration, and then we can just sell the extras or whatever if we have more than 200 people, or however many people that you said. Yeah. So do we have a second to buy the pins? We have a second from Yvonne. All in favor, raise your hands.
I have discussion.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What fund is this coming out of? We need to fund this motion.
Well, I.
Oh.
Okay. So what? That's
general.
Just the general fund. It'll be paid back out of registration. It's going to just add $2 to the cost of the registration.
So what's the motion? Is this will be funded from the general fund?
And we'll.
Because if we added $2 to everyone's registration, then everyone got a pin
in
their registration
package
upon arrival.
Yeah, so that's what Kitty's saying.
Yes.
Kitty's getting bigger. You need to amend the motion to have the money come out of the gathering.
They're only 81 cents.
Yes, we'll amend that motion to include that it will come out of the gathering fund and it will be repaid out of people's registration fees.
And I second the amendment.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
So now all in favor, raise your hands. Oppose? Okay. Settle. Thank you. Okay. Anything else?
Well, just tying in with the home and hearth theme, and I had over the last year or so, a number of people have asked me about getting some kind of a club project going, you know, something that we could work on as a group, and I sent out that email about transcribing with Malcolm, and that didn't really fly too much, but another thought I had was a cookbook, and I thought to, again, draft Robin with her expertise, but I know my mom's historical society in Mariposa County, when years ago they did a cookbook, and it wasn't just Cornish, but it was the different ethnicities in Mariposa County. But they all sent in a recipe of their family recipe and maybe a little story, and that sort of thing with it, and with some old time Cornish. I have a collection of old Cornish postcards. You know,
I think we all have a lot of things that would make that great.
Family pictures or something.
You can even have a lineup of all the different pasty recipes for every different family, including the venison ones and the lamb ones.
So I just thought that might be kind of a fun project everyone could submit.
I think, would you be willing to coordinate that?
Yeah, I can do that. And Robin here was just showing me one that she's been working on.
Yeah, there's a lot of
idea of, you know, what kind of printing.
There's a lot of different companies that do it, and you can do it yourself, and there's a lot of options.
Yes, there are, and you can get things printed and just send them right from your computer to the company, and they
print
your copy. So, but that's finished product would be a ways away, but I just thought I'd throw that,
I think
idea
that would,
out for discussion.
I think that would be fun, and it would also be a way to preserve all those recipes.
Right. You know, we can buy them for our kids and can cook they don't want for Christmas.
But that they'll care about when they're older.
I nominate Kitty to head up that project.
Yes, she already volunteered. That's what, and that has a lot to do with its success, is having somebody willing to be in charge of it.
We'll see this volunteer thing drive over the next 2 years.
Like you said, some of the cookbook sites, people can just go straight to them and put information straight into it.
Yeah.
And so then you don't even have to do it all yourself.
So I can put out a blurb in the newsletter or something about that.
I think anything you're willing to volunteer to do.
Yeah, people just send me information. I could start coordinating.
Yeah.
And my sister's really good with the whole, we've done a couple of family history books on my parents that we set up with scanning photographs.
Yeah.
I looked her after my sister.
If you did this, like, you know, like, if I sent one in, I mean, my family is just, you know, saffron buns and pasties that they did a whole bunch. But if you send in that and then, like, a picture of my grandmother or something like that, maybe a little story of where she was born, I mean, just be kind of, we each had, like, a page or a little teeny chapter or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we can send whatever we've got, and then we'll see how it falls together, probably.
It would be really Cornish because it would be our families where they would.
And it would be personal to all of us.
And a picture, an actual picture of them or something. You know, kind of fun.
Yeah, include family names and places.
It would be kind of like a family album. With
right. I agree.
And that would be tying with the theme.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Robin has a comment.
Yeah, I would retain supreme editor rights.
Yes, Robin.
So, just a couple of things about that. You don't retain supreme rights. The company does.
What company? The printing company?
Well, whichever company you use to do it.
If you use one of the companies and don't self-publish.
So, that one is one that my grandmother was key in putting together. And that's the one that I've been working on and doing some of the rest. So I'm about halfway through it, sort of doing a translation, translating both the...
That's what you're saying, the amounts, and yeah.
...that are available here as well. So that's an ongoing project, but I've been diverted, so...
Yeah.
That hasn't progressed very much in the last year. But just on the... I think it's a wonderful idea, and because there's so much, it's so easy to import various things. When I look, Morris Cookbook was the one that just stood out to me as the best company to go with, Morris. So it's so easy, and you don't need to do all the work. As we heard, that these days, if you just have the link, you can actually just go and put it all in, and they have all the format there,
right.
And it can go together fairly quickly. So if we jumped on it...
We might have it by the Plasterfield Gathering.
This is something we can have in print by next...
By the next
that would be really fun, yeah.
So using the company just simplifies the whole process.
Yeah.
And you don't put out your own money to start with. I looked into some of these too for some
I don't know how they work.
And it's not like you have to put out money. You know, it's like they charge you whatever.
As they're printed.
And then you just charge whatever other, you know,
to make a profit.
I think it's a very doable project.
Yeah. Good. Well, yeah, so, and you can even get information out by email through the Yahoo group first, and then it'll hit the newsletter next, and it can get out to everybody.
Yeah, and then if we didn't get, if there's some traditional Cornish recipes that maybe we didn't get recipes for,
then we can go find
it. Something, then we can put in one, you know, that's a traditional.
Right, recipe, something that you want to make sure is included. Yeah. Good.
Get more comprehensive.
People we know in Cornwall, you know, maybe they have a recipe.
Right.
An actual good person.
The history of it, like the with the heather cake, why is it that, you know, right. Why is it crisscrossed on the top to look like fishnets?
Yes, Yvonne?
A few years ago, the Cornish List did that, and it's part of the Cornish Volunteer Lookup Library, which is like an online library that we created about 10 years ago. It's been growing, but we have a whole section on recipes that came from the Cornish. So, that might be a resource for missing.
If there's something that you think should be included. Good.
There's a whole bunch of, and it runs a gamut from main dishes to desserts.
Yeah, no, I think that's how we should set it up. I have a couple of cookbooks I bought in Cornwall on different trips that are, you know, they're set up like that from kind of soup to nuts.
And Yvonne, that might be something that'd be really nice if you'd share in our newsletter too, the link to that. So when we want to do a Cornish meal to help our kids or whatever get into that, that would give us a place to find recipes if we don't have that many in our own family.
When I updated the lookup library, which it's got a lot of stuff on it, we post all the gatherings that are coming up, and there are people who do parents lookups and genealogical societies, and every time I update it, I post it to the Yahoo group.
Okay.
As well as the Cornish List. So
but you might put it on the newsletter, too, for those people.
Yeah.
Who are looking more at the print copy, or who aren't on the Yahoo group. Great. Okay, anything else, Kitty?
Not related to...
To those things? Okay.
Although I do have a little bit of stuff here if anyone wants to look through.
Okay, if anybody has any more questions or wants to know more about Plasterville, talk to Kitty afterwards. Okay, on to support for the A.C. Todd collection.
Right. We have established a... Cornish Studies Library, and it's located in the Doris Foley Historical Library in Nevada City. We have a contract with the Nevada County Board of Supervisors for them to look after our collection and make it available to the public. And one of our responsibilities is to provide a director to oversee that collection. And the person who did that initially and did a very fine job was Bev Haler, who we lost a couple of years ago, and we've never been able to replace her. And there's no one in this room who's a candidate to do it, because it takes someone who lives nearby Nevada City to look after it. But that is something that we desperately need, is someone to fill that role. And our collection is in regular use. It's growing all the time, which is actually part of the problem, because we need someone to work with the library staff in cataloging the new items that are coming in on a regular basis. And it's the best Cornish collection probably in the United States that's all in one place. You go to Bill Smithram's den and see a very fine one. And you can go to Platteville, which is a where there is a campus of the University of Wisconsin, where there's a very good one. I think ours is probably the largest and most extensive. So it's something for our club to really be proud of. But we do need to find a director for it, and so we'll be continuing that search. We've got a little money to help sustain it, and so we'll probably be spending some of that this year, because that library is threatened to be closed, but is now being operated by the Friends of the Library in Nevada County, and no longer staffed by the library staff itself, which is probably a really good thing, because they've been able to extend the hours, make it more available, and there are retired professional librarians who are now staffing it and who are doing it out of a real passion for the history of that region. And so in these hard times, some really good things have happened for the Foley Library. And so we'll have an update on it at the next gathering, and I hope we'll be able to say we have someone looking after it on a daily basis.
Great. Thank you. And if you guys haven't been there in one of our different gatherings up there, go check it out. It is really cool. Except for it makes you want to spend a week there. But anyway. Okay, and then support for the Cornish Global Migration Project. Do you want to share that?
Right. Out of our charitable funds, I'd like to propose that we send $1,000 to the Cornish Global Migration Program. We actually, the California Cornish Cousins, we were part of starting that program back when it was called the Cornish American Project or some such name. It was started by an academic named Fred Harris, who was a very close associate of Cecil Todd. Cecil Todd's personal library eventually went to Murdoch House in Redruth, which is an historic house where the Global Migration Project operates. They began by trying to catalog all the Cornish who went to North America, and now they have extended this worldwide. And they have accumulated a database. I think there are now well over 50,000 migrants who left Cornwall, principally in the 19th century. There's some in the 20th century, tracking where they left from and where they went to. And it's a wonderful resource for anyone doing family history. And they are building up this database, which is of great value to professional historians studying the great migration from Europe to other parts of the world. So
It's a really great project. They're at a critical moment right now. They have done a lot of work to refurbish Murdoch House. They're still trying to buy it with support from the Redruth Town Council and with funds from the European Union. And they are just in transition, moving to a new director of the project, Julianne Jenkin, who has run it for several years, having to release it for someone else to take over. The original director was Margaret Hange, who many of us know and who has been here as one of our speakers at a previous gathering, and also Sharon Schwartz, who spoke at our gathering in Mariposa. And so I think it's a time when $1,000 from California would make a big impact on encouraging the project, as we made a really big impact when we sent, I think, the first money they ever saw from overseas when they started the project back in the 1990s. So I would like to see us continue our support and encourage the work there.
I'll
yes.
make that motion.
Okay. And a second?
Second.
Anybody? Yes.
Discussion. Paige, should we be designating this money towards the purchase or to what part of the project?
I don't think we need to designate it. They've got a board of directors who will designate it for us. And I think what they really need, the purchase is probably primarily going to be public funds of some sort. And what they need are ongoing operating funds. And, you know, money to buy the photocopy paper and ink and money to keep up the internet connection and that type of thing. They don't have any paid staff. It's all volunteer, although the professional support that they get mainly comes from the Institute of Cornish Studies.
Is their database going to be open and available to the public?
They have published portions of it as they've gone along on CD-ROM. And they handle inquiries on a daily basis, coming from all over the world. I believe you can get a copy of their database at some point in time that was published on the most recent version published, just by corresponding with them. And you can find them on the web at the Cornish Global Migration Project.
And the name of it's listed in our little flyer, if that helps you when you're searching. Any other discussion?
I just wanted to put a little thing in that so far the ticket sales are at 100.
Okay, well, we're still on.
So that goes towards that.
Oh, okay.
So that's, you know.
I know if you go there, you can go up in and think right. You're coming and they'll mm-hmm. help.
So any other discussion? All in favor, raise your hands. Opposed? Okay. So, you get that. I saw you writing. You got that information down, Pat?
Oh, well, I'll get the rest.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Okay. It's really exciting to see. Just like, I think it was you were saying about leaky roofs and pipe organs, and there's been a few different projects that we've been able to be a part of, and it's just really exciting, especially, to keep that connection with our Cornish heritage. And then actually that was you're next on my agenda. So you want to make another plug for raffle tickets?
Oh, yeah, we'll do the drawing tonight at the dinner. I'm not too sure how many people have bought tickets, but it's $106 so far. And they're $100 each, $6 or $5, $12 or $10. So if you feel like buying more, that's fine too. So just see me at some point.
And the map's on the back table if anybody didn't get a chance to look at it. Yeah, it's very beautiful. Like I said, it's frameable art. I think that, is it like yours? My dad has one framed and matted on their wall, and it is beautiful.
And it's signed, it's numbered, it's got a printed stamp on it. And, you know, it's a real thing.
Okay. I'm just trying to read my handwriting. There are some Cornish Family History magazines. I don't know if everybody got to see them last night that have been donated. And so feel free to look through them and grab a couple and take them home with you if you'd like. What? Did we say something? Okay. listening to our speaker got me thinking that something I would like us to consider, and I don't expect us to make a decision right now, and I'll put a blurb in the newsletter. I would love the idea of us setting up some sort of a project what was the name of it? The Cornish...
Oral history thing?
The oral history project. I would love to see something, beginning with what we shared last night and adding that whole big story and putting the pieces together. And personally, I would love to see us set up a scholarship for someone who had completed that project. And that you would be awarded this when someone completed that, not when they started it, but when they completed it. And it could be, something that a student would do. It could be something that someone was doing as a college project through the Cornish Heritage Studies program. It could be a high school student. It could be somebody who just wants to do it because they've got some time at this point in their life. But I would like to see that. So I just want to throw that out. I'll put a blurb in the newsletter, and then maybe we can discuss it some more as time goes on. So I just want people to be thinking about that. It was brought to my attention, which I actually knew, but I didn't think to bring it up. We need a webmaster. Our webmaster, was it your son?
Yeah.
And I don't think he's had time to work on it. Now, is he available to share anything that would need to be known to keep it up? Because he set up such a great site. Do you know, Joe, if he would be able to, is there something someone needs to know to work on it? Does he need to pass on some baton? Or would we need to do a new one? Or do I need to just contact him?
It'd be better to contact him.
Okay.
And his phone number and everything is on the back of the newsletter.
Okay.
Where they have all
right. Where it says webmaster. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a link on the bottom of the website, too, that says contact webmaster.
Yeah. Now, does anybody have any expertise or family members with expertise that may be able to take that on? It's a beautiful site, and it just needs to be updated.
I can do it at least as an interim, and all as a ton can be. All I really need is to know how to access. We have our own domain,
right? So you just got to hook you up with him.
To be able to upload the files, and if he can email me his HTML files, we do not need to recreate a new website.
Because he's done such a nice job. So
and I can import what he's done into my own program, and then update it. So, at least for the moment, I'll be glad to at least get it up.
Okay. And if anybody has any ideas of somebody ongoing, so that Yvonne doesn't end up being saddled with it for the next 10 or 15 years.
I'm kind of already thinking of going that way.
So, somebody knows somebody who might be interested in getting more expertise in that area and wants to partner with Yvonne. Okay. So, would you be willing to get his contact information and do that? That would be wonderful. Thank you.
I'll just either email him or call him from
his contact information.
The site is up to date.
And it's on the back of the newsletter.
I'll contact him. Will Joe or Maureen, will it be a surprise to him?
It won't be if you wait until we get home.
will he be offended at all or about this?
You'll have to check with him on that.
Okay. It's just that it still lists 2008 as upcoming. The Sonora gathering of 2008 is still listed on the site as upcoming. So
that's the last.
And that's partly because we had a separate site for 2009.
Because it was combined.
There was a link on the site that took us to another link.
Okay.
So we had a special website for the National Gathering.
Yes.
So he may even be willing to work with you to get that. I mean, just depending on how much time he has, is my guess.
It would be better to work with him.
Yeah.
Sure. But you guys want to talk to him first?
I think it'd be a good idea.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want to step on any toes.
No. Yeah, and he's done a great job, but I'm gathering he just hasn't had time in the last couple of years. And I know he hasn't had the opportunity even to make it to gatherings in a couple of years, so. So, but yeah, it is. We were just on it the other day, looking, trying to remember what year we went, which places.
Joe and Morgan.
Yeah,
so that would be great if you could talk to him and we could get that going.
Yeah, maybe we should just say that it's Robin Roberts who has been our webmaster who set up the original
the first
website,
site, yeah, the only
and
site.
Also he set up the site for the 2009 International Gathering, which is a separate website that we linked. And he is completing a PhD at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and also teaching, and so those activities have kept him from being at our most recent gatherings.
So maybe if someone can partner with him, even temporarily, he might have an opportunity to do it more in the future or whatever. So maybe you could just see how that can happen, and so we can get it up to date. And it just may be, too, that maybe he needs to have more input from us so that he doesn't have to go searching for it. And so, but that would be great if you could find out what he needs from the group and whatever we can do to help, and for, at least for the time, so we can get that up to date. Thank you, guys. Okay. Kitty, you were saying you wanted to know about our nonprofit status? Is that?
We need to discuss that.
I can take the floor.
Yeah, okay. That's the money lady.
I was asked 2 years ago to research becoming a nonprofit. That was part of our 2008 meeting. I have done that, and I have the very sad news to know that Joe advised me. I already knew. We are not in compliance with the law on the federal or the state level. It's a very serious issue. I don't know what to do. Let me start back at the beginning. When we applied for a federal ID number, the paperwork that was received back, the people that started this and did it, it was a woman in San Jose, I don't know her, but the paper she got said, here's your federal ID number, you can apply for nonprofit status, but as long as your funds that you receive are under $5,000, you don't have to. Now that didn't put her in compliance with the state, but that didn't cross her mind, right. I would imagine, nor the group that started. So the funds in just, and Joe has done a great job, so I have history here going back to 2000. Only 2 years out of those years have we taken in more than, under $5,000, only two. So we're in violation at the federal level because we're not violent, and we are not a nonprofit. At the state level, I talked to the state, and I also talked to an auditor, a CPA auditor, who has 20 years experience in the nonprofit industry. What the state told me is, we look at your data when you send your paperwork into the state. Now, what that means is that there's an $800 franchise fee that when we send in our paperwork, they collect that $800 plus any penalties for each year you've been in business. So if we are honest and say we've been in business since 1992, we will have no funds left in the treasury. We will be broke. If we lie, we are telling a lie. We also should be filing with the federal government. There's not a lot of taxes involved in that, but there is taxes. And again, we're out of compliance. So what revenues we've made, we would have to pay taxes on. To apply for the nonprofit, I believe the form is a 1023. I can't remember. I've got the paperwork at home. But the way it is filled out, I'm afraid to do that. Because if we don't fill it out correctly, we can be denied nonprofit status, and then we will not be a nonprofit. So I'm Kitty had one suggestion. I'd like you to share that. I am really open to what we can do about to solve this problem.
Well, last year at the big gathering in Grass Valley, we were kind of throwing this around while we were working the registration table. And was it Eleanor? Somebody mentioned that particular gathering was being done under the nonprofit status of the Grass Valley Male Voice Choir, am I correct?
That's true.
And I said, said, well, why can't, if we can tag on for this one event, why can't we, they're already not an established nonprofit, can't we just become like a
subsidiary
or, you know, redhead stepchild or something with them and just become nonprofit?
That's
a thought.
Tag on
their existing one.
And if we do that, our treasury, I mean, our funds go to them. So we would actually be operating under their auspices eventually.
But also, wouldn't that jeopardize their funds if the whole thing gets caught?
I don't think so, because if the funds are taken out of our bank account, see, this is another issue. We have a bank account in Stockton. And that because Joe knows the folks there, they were very willing to work with us to change the person, the people on the bank account. But because we don't have any California corporation papers, we can never change our bank account. We can't open another bank account with the laws that have been passed in the last 5 years. We have to show corporate, state of California corporate ID in order to open or change bank accounts. So that's another issue that we have. But if we empty our treasury completely, those funds get donated to the Grass Valley Choir, they adopt our name and we can operate under their auspices, then California Cornish Cousins as an organization is defunct. That federal ID number goes away. We stay under the radar all the time. It seems to me that might be a good option, but we have not explored this with the Grass Valley Choir. So, I don't know. Yeah, Jan?
I belong to like two or three other nonprofits, and we bring in a lot more than 5,000 a year. Is there a reason why they say 5,000?
That just came back on the SS4 issued in 1992. That I don't know that that is the case today, but that's the paperwork that she got that said, you don't have, as a nonprofit, you don't have to file a tax return if your revenues are underneath $25,000. So we've complied with that, but we're not a nonprofit.
Yeah.
So we're out of compliance because we are not a nonprofit. That the paperwork that we got back said we could apply for a nonprofit status, but as long as our revenues were under $5,000 for federal purposes, we didn't have to file any paperwork. That takes care of the guys that start a knitting club and they take in $300. It just takes the paperwork away. But we are far more than that. We've done a lot more. Our revenues in the last 10 years have been well over $70,000 total. So, you know, we've got to take some action here. I would say shortly, and figure out what we want to do. And although I was asked to research this, I didn't feel comfortable taking any steps without a very large collaboration.
Maybe we should look into it.
The CPA that I talked to said that her best advice would be to lie. And officially she can't give that, but it's funny. But that's
a lie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Who's going to come after you?
The state. The state.
The Attorney General's office.
Yes.
Who needs money right now?
They don't know we're here, but if we have a transaction that lands on either the federal or the state government's radar, let's say we have an event and we're selling pits at Placerville, and a state board of equalization officer comes in and buys a pin, goes back to the office, sees that California Cornish Cousins is not on the sales tax list. Now we have a sales tax audit. Oh, well, do you know that they share information with the Franchise Tax Board and the Franchise Tax Board shares with the federal government? So, you know, we could stay under the radar forever, but or not. That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm not.
It's all out of my league.
Well, it really is much bigger than a very small organization that started in 1992 thought it would be.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
One of the problems is that the Attorney General's office has been really looking into nonprofits and going after large nonprofits that have been out of compliance.
Right, and they're keeping
much. But in the process, the little guys have got caught too. And I was the treasurer of a nonprofit for 8 years, and I just recently found out that we had not been filing, I forget the name of the form, with the Attorney General's office every year.
Uh-huh.
And you have to file that form so they'll know how much money you made to see how much you have to pay the Attorney General's office. And we were completely...
Well, that's a $25 thing that says this is who we serve if you want to get sued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we were completely innocent. And I didn't know what to do. So I just owned, different than this, but I thought we were, you know, because they say if you don't turn this form in each year, you can be fined up to $800. And that could be, that would apply for 11 or 12 years.
Yeah.
And I talked to somebody, I filled out the necessary forms, I sent them in, and it turned out all that we had to do there, because we are incorporated, we have but it still, they didn't go back. They didn't fine us.
But that's to this organization, because we are completely under the radar. We've not done that either.
And you don't have, do you have an incorporated? You're saying you don't.
Because we're not on the books with the state at all. They don't even know we're here right now.
Because the feds require a form now every year also for nonprofit, regardless of whether you made any money or not.
And we, but see, that's the problem. We're not a nonprofit.
Officially anything.
And anybody over the years that has donated, and I got a guy sitting right here next to me that's donated a lot of money to this organization. And if that was taken on a tax return as a nonprofit donation, that's a violation as well, because we're not a nonprofit.
We never
applied for the status. And the form is several pages long.
But we are.
We operate as a nonprofit.
Could we dissolve this? Say we're not a group anymore, and then start fresh.
And that was also an option that was thrown out by the CPA that I talked to. But that does mean that we'll lose the name California Cornish Cousins, because that name is, that federal ID number is connected with that. And I don't know if we filed a fictitious name stuff on that. I don't have any records of that. With the county, probably not. But we cannot apply for another federal ID number under that name.
Although we could do something such as California Cornish Cousins Association or something.
We can. That is an option to do that. Yeah, and if you do that, then you can get a new federal ID number. You have to apply to the state, and that's an $800 a year fee, whether you make any income or not, as an organization in the state of California, until you get that nonprofit status. But again, we circle back to where my fear was, is filling out that form. We need someone that if you know anyone that can do that for us, that's a real need. But if that paperwork is not filled out correctly and we're denied 501c3 status, then again we're no longer a profitable organization, and any net revenues we have at the end of the year will be taxed both on a federal and a state level, and we still have that $800 for the state every year. So that was, when I looked at the form, it scared me a little. Because I do accounting for nonprofits all the time, but I don't do that. To me, seems to be legal.
Yeah.
Tax.
I said the people I know who've applied for it, they have paid someone to fill out the paperwork.
Absolutely.
To make sure it's done
right,
and that can be very costly unless you know somebody who can do it.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
The Snow Valley Women's Club went through this, and in fact, if I remember right, they lost the application fee, even though it was denied. Non-refundable, I think that was from the state. But it turns out that they could not, the club itself couldn't get the nonprofit status, because you have to demonstrate that you're doing something in the community. You have to demonstrate there's a charitable aspect to your club.
Yes.
So the only way that we were able to actually get it is on the building that we own, which was built in 1901, and it became a preservation society for the building. The club itself, we're still not a nonprofit. So it's not an easy thing to get.
No.
Especially in, I think one of the reasons, like Bob said, the reason why they're looking at them is it's revenue.
I got to tell you, the only nonprofits that get away with, as far as I'm concerned, murder, are churches, because they never have to file a tax return, and they have automatic nonprofit status. But nonprofit organizations...
So St. Pierre's Cornish.
Somebody can go in the back of a matchbox and get ordained.
Yes, right.
So I'm wondering, this looks like it's really complicated. Perhaps this is something that needs to be continued discussion first via email or something, because it's already 12:30.
Yeah.
It's out of my league. Now, the other thing I want to throw out, and then, of course, and then I'm going to say, we can't talk about it anymore. Is it cheaper than to be a business, to file those taxes and pay our taxes?
No.
Is it cheaper to be not a nonprofit?
At least $800 a year until we, whatever we do, go to a new organization, unless we just completely fold and go underneath another nonprofit and just give our funds away so somebody else is in charge of our treasury. If we're going to do it ourselves, whether it's doing a new organization or staying the way we are, lying or paying, if we pay the fees, we're broke.
Right.
We don't have money to seed funds for gathering next year. If we start over again or we lie, then we've got the cost of the $800 a year. And I'm just talking taxes, because I can fill out this the 571L and file with the county. That's about $30, but we still have the $800 a year fee, and then we have to find someone that can fill these forms out to demonstrate correctly that we qualify for a nonprofit.
I'm saying if we're an organization that is not nonprofit, and we pay taxes on our profit, is that less than $800?
No.
So
minimum $800, because that's the minimum. They call it a franchise tax.
Oh, okay.
It is not an income tax. It's a franchise tax, and that's the minimum. And then there's a schedule that goes up based on your income. So, it's a minimum $800.
It's every year?
Every year. Yeah. Every year. And then there's a small tax that we would pay at the federal level, because we have made money every year.
Right.
So,
Is there some way of... not charging people for things like the pins? Say, put a thing there and say a donation, suggest a donation.
The $800 would not go away. It doesn't matter how much money you make. At the federal level, yes, at the end of the year, if we spend everything we make, we have no profit. We don't pay anything at the federal level. State $800 does not go away, ever.
So you're saying the option is to either file and take the hit, which we probably would have a hit if we were granted status, or I know you're saying why, but you're just or just do what we've been doing and not file taxes and just not talk about it. Is that
well? We have three options. Three or four options. One is we can go under another nonprofit and disappear completely. Two, we can keep operating the way we are and hope we never get caught. I think that's the most dangerous of all of them. Three, we can lie on the form and say that we only started last year, pay our first $800, and then try and get be a nonprofit. Four, we can tell the truth and lose our treasury. And five, we can close this organization down completely, get another name, get another federal IT number, and start again. Those, I believe, are our options.
I suggest we don't lie, because in this day and age...
I think all of us don't lie.
I'm just saying those...
That's an option, but that's an option we don't want to take.
And I, for one, wouldn't really want to... I mean,
you wouldn't want to be a part of it.
But I wouldn't want to put my... I wouldn't want to sign a yes, for sure.
And a waiter over in the corner would alert
and
the
attorney general.
He's a spy, So perhaps... we can have an email discussion among the board about what we can do about it.
I didn't want to take it on myself. I just waited for 2 years to bring it up with the group.
So maybe you can email the board and we can begin an email discussion and see where we can go with that. Is that an acceptable thing? And then we'll let the group know as we know anything. Okay.
And I think we're going to have to vote on that.
Right. No, I agree.
By
we had bylaws. And so the bylaws have not been updated in quite a while. Among other things, it was brought to my attention, it says that the offices are for 1 year, and in, by tradition, a few years back, we started having two-year terms. And so I would like to propose that, so do you guys have a copy of the bylaws?
Yes.
That maybe the bylaws can be included in the next newsletter, and that we can, everybody can see them, and then we can propose changes to them that may be needed, that obviously, and then anything else. And then we can continue this discussion after that. Does that sound acceptable?
There's a link to the bylaws on the website.
On the site.
You can download and print it out.
Okay.
Normally it would be in your bylaws. Who's going to change the bylaws?
Yes, it is. It's a vote of a quorum at any gathering, and it doesn't have to be membership. It just has to be a vote and who shows up.
And what you could do would be to not send it to the membership until you have changes.
Have a proposed change by. That's a good idea.
And then they just bring it up whenever you
and vote on. That's a good idea.
Do we want to propose it with 2 years? Is that a good discussion?
Well, I don't know if there's anything else that maybe we need to look at.
No, the quorum was changed. That was already settled in a long time.
So
the bylaws just weren't updated, is what you're saying?
That's the only thing that should be looked at, is do we want to have the officers for 1 year or 2 years?
So we could go ahead and vote on that proposal now and not worry about looking over the whole bylaws.
No, we don't go through the rest of it.
So,
if the bylaws say the membership has to have a certain amount of time ahead of time to know about
Does
it say that? It's in the standing rules.
I think we ought to leave it like it is.
Yeah.
Leave it like it is until we gather, and
then we'll have
a proposal.
Yes, I think that sounds great. And then we can do that, an electronic discussion of it, if you think there's other things, or if we all want to look at it, if anybody has, we can go to the site, link to it, if we have other things we think, and then come up with a final proposal by our next gathering.
Yeah, I'll bring copies.
Yeah, I've got a copy here, but
we can discuss it then.
Okay, sounds great.
I think we have a big problem
to work with. Yeah, meanwhile, much bigger than the bylaws.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the state can't get to us on that
one. Yeah. Okay, and then fall luncheons. Did you want to share something on it, or just do you want to encourage people that we do that?
Well, we just haven't had one for a couple of years, and I've had a number of people ask me about them and missing them and wanting to reinstate them, so I'm just going to try to do that.
Yeah, so encourage people in different areas. I know Jan's done some, and if there's anybody else who feels led, that you don't have to commit to doing them all the time. If you just want to put something together and get it in the newsletter and have a little get-together, and maybe it'll even be just four or five people, it'll still be a fun time to get together with your other Cornish cousins who live near you.
Yeah, I'd be glad to plan one for the Northern California.
Yeah.
I can't imagine any SoCal people would travel up for lunch.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and do one for Southern. Yeah. The last 3 years, I've been selling foreclosures for a bank. I've been working 19 days a week. But it's over, I think.
So
I'm actually here because I have time to leave for 4 days and twice. So I'll go ahead and plan this other one.
That'd be great.
So I don't know who is here is without. Yeah, you guys.
Well, and get it in the newsletter because there may be people who couldn't come up for this too.
I just didn't know who was involved.
The other thing that's been helpful is that when we did ours is that you can get the newsletter on the spreadsheet, and if you need it, you can get it emailed to you, like from Maureen, and then you can just get all the people in a zip code stretch and send mailers out.
From like whatever Bakersfield.
Yeah, and so that got some people who might not have read, don't always read their newsletter. Okay, great. And so I just encourage people to attend and to plan them. T-shirts are for sale. They'll be here through this evening, so pick one up if you haven't already. And I think that's it. Does anybody have anything else?
Just one thing. We'll take a group shot at cocktail hours.
Oh, good.
Be sure to show up for cocktails.
What time are cocktails? cocktails.
After you have your first one, we want all swine.
Yeah, they do.
Do we have to vote for the new members and have new officers, or is that tonight, or is that just sort of automatic?
No, I think we... No, because we still, this is, we, didn't we already vote in when we voted in the next slate in Sonora? I think, did we? No?
Yeah.
Wait, that's where Pat came on, and Kenny came on as president-elect.
Yes. Yeah, but now she has to be voted
president. As president?
Right. Okay. So she's going to be president. Eleanor will be going out of
office. Past president.
Kenny will be going in. Why don't we do that this evening?
Okay, sounds good. Okay.
Because we need to extend the treasurer and the secretary.
Right.
If the secretary's going to.
Nominate them also again.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they're ready to be that.
Okay, that's a good idea if we can do that this evening. Okay, so does anybody want to make a motion that we close this meeting?
Yay, I saw.
And a second?